Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 28. In verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." This is something that has become an issue, especially nowadays. All authority is given to Christ in heaven and on earth. There is no authority that has not been given to him. Sometimes we think of this in religious terms, but it's not a religious issue. Even with Pilate, Jesus said, "You would have no authority over me unless it were given to you from above." While Jesus is the one to whom all authority has been given, Jesus gave him that authority. And the reason why he gave him that authority is so that he could carry out the eternal plan of God, so that Jesus would go to the cross, could go to the cross, in terms of practicalities and legalities of the day in the culture that he was living in, so that the finished work could become a practical manifested reality in time and not simply a positional truth, albeit an absolute truth in Revelation 13:8 that was established and then everything was created upon it. All authority is given to Christ. But because authority is such an issue in the world, because authority is such an issue in our daily lives, we need to understand how true authority works. Now, there is a bona fide, a true authority, and there is a non-bona fide, unbonafide authority as well. We do not want to deal with unbonafide authority in our lives. It's not proper authority. Nor is anyone required to submit to unbonafide authority. Authority must be practiced in truth in order to be bona fide. Because it has been given unto Christ, in John 1:14, Christ is the living Word. In John 17:17, the Word is the truth. All authority, in order for it to be according to truth, must be according to doctrine, to the Word of God, applied properly in the specific situations which one encounters. And so authority must always be according to doctrine. Doctrine defines the parameters of authority. If I function in doctrine, then I function in authority. In Luke 20, verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were very religious, they searched the scriptures, but they couldn't even find Christ in them. And the scriptures, of course, testify of Christ. These so-called authorities, which in truth they were not, albeit they possessed offices that carried authority, they said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is it that gave you this authority?" Jesus possesses all authority, yet they didn't even recognize the source of his authority, because they themselves, albeit they were in positions of authority, carried no authority because they were not operating in doctrine. Those people who are not under authority will never recognize the true source of authority. Only those who function in doctrine will recognize the authority of doctrine. Only those who function in doctrine will recognize when something is not authority according to doctrine. And so, if I am under the authority of the Word of God, then I will recognize the proper application of authority, whether it is according to the Word of God or contrary to the Word of God. If it is contrary to the Word of God, I'm under no obligation whatsoever before God to yield to that authority. This is where people sometimes make a mistake. They try to have people yield to their authority, but they're not applying the authority according to the Word of God, according to doctrine. It's not a bona fide authority. If a person possesses authority, then you don't have to get people to yield. You don't have to try to manipulate them into submitting to your authority. They will recognize the authority in you if they are submitted to the authority of doctrine. If they are not submitted to the authority of doctrine, it doesn't make any difference what they recognize or don't recognize. In Mark 1:22, people were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, Jesus did not have a formal education. Quite frankly, being God, what formal education are you going to give to God? What university is going to teach God anything? But they only recognized him as a man, many of them. Some recognized him for who he was. But those who recognized him as a man, because even in their hearts they appreciated and yielded to the authority of the Word of God, they recognized that he taught them having authority, not as the scribes, as the teachers of the day, as the religious rulers of the time. They had no authority in scriptures, they had no authority with God, and their teaching reflected their lack of authority. Have you ever seen people who claim authority, let's say as pastors or as some kind of teachers? And I'm only talking in a Christian setting now. I'm not even gotten to the secular settings. But these people will drone on and on in an intellectual discourse about Scripture, and yet there is no life in their message. Why is that? It's not that what they're saying is false. It's that what they're saying is lifeless. Because they haven't tapped in to the authority that comes with the Holy Spirit delivering the message in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. I remember years ago, my wife and I were at a restaurant, and there was a certain pastor wearing an ecumenical collar, but he wasn't a Catholic. I'm not going to get into what religion he was from because that's not the point. He was drinking his glass of wine, which right there spoke loudly about his condition before God. And he was a little bit tipsy. And he just looked over at my wife and I because we were sitting at the next table. And he said, "I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to preach about on Sunday." And I was thinking to myself, perhaps I should have said it. I was thinking to myself, well, you're going to hear from a spirit, but it ain't going to be the Holy Spirit in your condition. Because you are not in a place where you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, and your tipsiness and your wine in front of you reveals this. The very question that you asked reveals this. You see, that man, I don't know, I haven't heard his message, but I've heard plenty like him. They don't speak with authority. They speak out of their intellect, but not out of authority. Jesus spoke with authority because in John 16:13, it was the Holy Spirit that was giving him the message, that was giving him truth, and that was the source of his authority. The same is true in our lives. We have the very same Holy Spirit, if we are born again, that Jesus had. And that Holy Spirit is our authority. Him guiding us in truth is Him guiding us with authority. In Hebrews 4:16, the throne of grace gives us the authority of grace. When we come to the throne of grace, we come to the authority of God, and the Holy Spirit guiding us in all truth is the practical function of the throne of grace in our lives. This authority extends to everything. If I'm at work or I'm at school, I'm under somebody's authority. And so this authority, if that person possesses authority, even if it is a secular organization or secular authority structure, the authority itself, the system of authority, is brought by God. So we have to yield accordingly so long as it is doctrinal. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Younger ones, be subject to the older ones." Now, younger is not necessarily speaking about age here. The word can mean age, but not in this context. Here, younger is speaking about those who are new, or more specifically, those who are learning. Older ones, and this is where we really see the meaning of the passage, older is presbyteros, and it refers to a rank or an office. What it's saying is, you who are younger, in other words, you who are learning of the Lord, submit to those, or be subject to those, who you are learning from. I can't learn from anyone if I'm not subject to them. It doesn't matter what I'm studying. In order to learn from somebody, I have to make myself subject to that person. And so this is what Peter is saying. You who are learning of God, be subject to those who are teaching you of God. And all being subject one to another. Put on humility. This is the key to it. Put on humility. Because God sets Himself against the proud ones, but He gives grace to the humble ones. Now, being under authority, whether it is authority in a Christian structure or whether it is authority in a secular structure, regardless, being under authority is a choice. A person may possess authority, but I must choose to honor that authority. If I don't voluntarily yield to the authority that is bona fide and is over me, then I will not be under authority. I may be in an organizational structure, but if I don't yield to the authority above me in that organizational structure, then I'm not under authority. The authority may be present, but it's not present in my life. It's only present in the organizational structure. So ultimately, authority is a volitional issue. If I yield to the proper authority in my life, then I will have authority and covering in my life. And this is one of the purposes of authority, is to be a covering. If I do not voluntarily yield to that authority, it's not that that office or that person doesn't possess that authority in truth, but I simply will not experience its benefits. So as far as I'm concerned, in my own personal experience, it is as though I have no authority over me, because I don't. Whether there is authority in my life is my choice. Whether that authority is effective in my life is my choice. Sometimes people will blame authority because of a lack of outcome where people won't yield to the authority. I'm not saying that's always the case, but sometimes it is. And so, I must yield by my own decision to the authority of Christ. Ultimately, that's what it's about. If I don't decide to honor the Word of God in my life, then Christ has no authority in my life. There is no throne of grace functioning in my life. It doesn't mean that the throne of grace doesn't exist. It means that it doesn't function in my life. This authority is a source of my protection. Covering is given first for edification, second for protection, and third for correction when necessary, in order to establish edification and protection. Sometimes covering is simply encouragement. Sometimes covering is teaching. Sometimes covering is the proper form of leadership. But it's always there for my edification, my protection, and then it does what is necessary in order for me to enjoy that edification and protection, and that may at times include things like correction. But it can also include the other things like exhortation, which is a positive word, not a negative word. It's encouragement, or some kind of other edifying activity. This protection comes only when the authority is bona fide. The authority is bona fide only when it is within the parameters and according to doctrine. If authority is not according to the Word of God, it is not legitimate use of authority. A person may possess it legitimately, but possessing it legitimately is not the same as using it legitimately. Authority is only bona fide when it is used legitimately as well as possessed legitimately. Sometimes people try to claim authority that God didn't give them, and you don't even pay any attention to that. When they do that, it's called usurping authority. You never usurp authority. You never claim authority you don't possess. But if you do legitimately possess authority, that authority has to be within the constraints of doctrine, because everyone possessing authority must be under authority. And ultimately, that authority is the one to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles were challenged in their preaching by the religious crowd, the religious so-called authorities who were not. And they said to them, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Sometimes when you have a authority over you, and it is perhaps even a legitimate authority, but it's not used legitimately. In other words, the person possesses it in a legitimate manner, but they're not using it according to doctrine. And this may often happen in secular organizations. It may also even happen in Christian organizations. When somebody utilizes authority that is contrary to doctrine, you may have to choose. Sometimes if people possess legitimate authority, but they don't exercise it legitimately, you don't stay under their authority, and that usually means you leave. It does not mean that you attack. It does not mean that somehow you conspire. It does not mean that you do something to harm that person. For that matter, you don't even do something to remove them from that authority, unless it's certain governmental structures that are not bona fide, that are oppressing people, in which case people have the right before God and even the responsibility to do what they can. And I'm not advocating the illegitimate efforts to do it. I'm advocating the legitimate ones, but sometimes you have to do what you can to remove the authority over you in governmental structures. For example, in the late 80s, the Iron Curtain countries and eventually Russia itself remove themselves from under the authority of communism, which was not a legitimate form of authority because it was an authority that went against the Word of God. And so they did successfully what they could to remove themselves legitimately from under that authority. Prior to that, people would escape from those countries, and they did what they legitimately could to get out from under illegitimate authority. You may be in a job, or you may be in a class, or what have you, where the exercise of authority is not legitimate, where perhaps it is an ungodly use of authority, promoting things that are not godly. You see this nowadays in certain school systems, where they're promoting extremely ungodly philosophies, wicked philosophies, and they're claiming the authority to do it because they are the school system. That is not legitimate authority. And if I was in their shoes, I would take my children out of those school systems because those children are being submitted to things that are not legitimate authority. They are contrary to truth, they're contrary to the Word of God, they're contrary actually to the very fiber which was according to truth that made the country. And so those parents are under no obligation before God to keep their children under that type of authority. In my opinion, they should either put their kids in a good Christian school or homeschool those children, or do something whereby they will not be subject to illegitimate authority. If I have a boss who's asking me to do things that are ungodly, I may have to quit the job because I do not yield to illegitimate authority, because you can't yield to illegitimate authority and to proper authority at the same time. And the proper authority that we yield to ultimately is the authority of Christ. If I'm in a church and the pastor starts to preach things that are contrary to sound doctrine, let's say that the pastor denies the blood of Christ or denies the virgin birth or one of the cardinal doctrines, I don't stay under that authority. That is not legitimate use of authority, albeit the pastor may possess the authority legitimately. He's not using it legitimately. And I don't stay there. I find a church and a pastor that does preach the truth. On the other hand, I don't attack the pastor. And also, I don't attack the authority or leave the institution, organization, what have you, simply because my toes got stepped on when the authority was used legitimately. Years ago, there was a person in our church, and we do this. They said to me, "Why do you teach so much on the same thing all the time?" Now, this was an honest question so long as it wasn't asked with a critical spirit. They simply wanted to know why. And I answered this person, because in our church, we teach doctrine. And if people do not have the opportunity to properly learn the doctrine, they will not have the opportunity to properly apply the doctrine, and that takes some time. However, if the person, which was not the case, but if the person had come to me with a critical spirit and said, "Why do you constantly teach the same thing all the time?" the proper thing for me to do would have simply been to not answer them, because that would be yielding to their criticism and negativity. You don't yield to that. It's not proper authority. John Rice one time went to a church, visiting there for a week, and every single day he was there, he would preach on Proverbs 11:30, "He that wins souls is wise." Monday, he preached, "He that wins souls is wise." Tuesday, he preached, "He that wins souls is wise." Wednesday, he preached, "He that wins souls is wise." Finally, on Wednesday, somebody asked, "You know, you preached this message twice already. Why do you keep preaching it?" He said, because you all aren't doing it. Until there is proper application of the word that is taught, then repetition is frequently necessary. And so, in many churches, ours included, we will sometimes get on topics where we will stay there for a while because God wants people to learn how to apply the Word of God. In 1 Peter 5:3, no authority should be lords over God's heritage, but they should be an example to the flock. Authority is never about somebody subjecting another person to themselves. Authority is always as an example to the flock. No pastor, for that matter, no boss, no anybody who possesses authority says, you must listen to me. Can you imagine, for example, if a husband said that to a wife, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he says to her, you must listen to me. What capacity will she have to listen to him? The problem with that guy is he's not under authority, and we actually did have somebody say that to their wife one time, years and years ago. He wasn't under authority to Christ. She was under no obligation to listen to his authority because he was not under his authority that God had given him. But he was adamant, you must listen to me. She had no capacity to do it. Nor should she have. Because he was not yielded to authority. Now, authority in 1 Corinthians 14:40 is about doing everything decently and in order. Because God gives authority to certain people in a certain office, that person, Hebrews 13:17, on the one hand does have authority over the other person. For example, if I agree that I'm going to work for somebody and they are paying me, I've made an agreement to give them the time that they are paying for, and they have purchased that time from me. And during that time, they are the authority. And so I have made an agreement that I will submit to them in that purchase. So I obey that person because they have purchased that authority legitimately from me. Now, that being said, in that same verse, authority must give an account. The pastor, and really the boss or the teacher or the organizational head, the CEO, will give an account to God. This is a universal truth. This is not just for Christians. We see this all the time. When people did not use authority properly, the accounting comes to them. And frequently, they have negative results in their own lives because they did not use the authority properly. Everyone who possesses authority must give an account. Years ago, I preached a message, The Doctrine of the Pastor-Teacher. And I preached, and this is of course within the Word of God, that all pastors must be accountable, and if they are not accountable, then that is a problem. For example, if a pastor is going to take tithes, then the books have to be open. Those people from whom money comes into the church must have the right to see where the money goes. We don't publish where the money goes, but people in our church have the right to know what we do with the money they give. And so if somebody comes and says, in a spirit of humility, again, not in a spirit of criticism, but in a spirit of humility, I would like to know what the church is using the money for, that is a legitimate question. And that person has a right to an answer. That person has a right to see it. Because the authority must give an account. But also the authority gives an account to God. This is why authority must be used legitimately, because ultimately all authority gives an account to God. A pastor will give an account at the Bema Seat of Christ for the authority that he possessed. How did he use it? And within the confines of a structure, those people who yield to his authority, Paul is saying there, yield to them because they must give an account, and it's better for you that they give the account with joy and not with grief. Why? Because it's better for you, you get the reward with them when you yield to their proper authority. If you are in an organization that is secular, maybe it is a job or school or any organization that is secular and there is authority involved, that authority will give an account. And ultimately, they will give an accounting to God. All authority gives an account. So James 3:1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, in other words, those in authority, this is within a church structure, knowing that we will have the stricter judgment. Now, authority does receive stricter judgment from God, yet at the same time, authority will receive greater protection from God. Because a person who is given authority from God, regardless of the nature of the authority, they have to have the liberty to utilize the authority that they have given in a bona fide manner. Now, if they do not use it in a bona fide manner, I'm not under obligation to yield to it. And yes, that may mean I quit the job or leave the organization or what have you. But I am not in sin, I'm not wrong for not yielding to authority that is not according to doctrine. Now, sometimes, like nowadays, we have this situation going on in the world where there's a lot of unbonafide authority because it's not according to doctrine. And that does mean, like Peter said in Acts 5:29, that we stand up to that authority not in any kind of an unbonafide manner, but simply yielding to the authority of God rather than to the authority of those people. And if that means that we are at odds, in as much as we disobey one to honor God, we honor God. The school systems that are trying to impose their authority over the families are usurping authority, and the families should not yield to that authority. I don't care if it's a government institution, they should not yield to that authority because it is not the proper use of authority within that organization. It's very important for us to understand where authority comes from, what its source is, and how to respond to it. The ultimate authority is the Word of God. It's not my boss. For that matter, it's not my pastor. It's not my husband or my wife. They may have legitimate use of authority, and that I yield to. But if they don't utilize that authority according to the Word of God, then it's important that I obey God rather than men. In Ezekiel 28, when Satan conspired against God, one third of heaven did not honor the authority of God. Instead, they yielded to Lucifer, who illegitimately used his position as a covering cherub to take angels away from the authority of God. The result was that one third of the angels fell. two-thirds yielded to the authority of God and said to the one in authority as a covering cherub, "The Lord rebuke you." And God honored them. It's like that for us too. Doctrine is the authority. Though we may be in an organizational structure and we yield to the authority of that structure, we do not yield to it at the cost of yielding to the Word of God. All authority should uphold the Word of God. That's what makes it bona fide authority. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live."